Good morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to church. How many of you are glad that you're just alive? You're just glad you're alive. Oh, yeah, it's good to be alive. I want you to thank Trevor and that worship team. Can you do that? They did a good job. That's a cool-looking band and a cool-sounding band, amen? But they're here to lead us in worship each and every day. It's an honor to be here from Southern California. It is the land of the fruit and the nuts. And it doesn't matter if you're from Northern California or Southern California. We're all in California, amen? But we have the best weather in the world, amen? That's why we live here. That's why I live here. But David invited me to come speak on Mother's Day. And so if you don't like anything you hear today, blame him. Do not blame me, okay? David comes and preaches for me about once a year. He only invites me about once every 5 years. I don't know why that is. But I love my brother, and he's done an amazing job. I'm the oldest of three boys. I've got two older sisters. But anytime I speak like here, some of you are already thinking, man, that guy sounds like David. How many of you have already thought that? That guy sounds like David. Well, I was here first. So David sounds like me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't say you sound like David. Say, man, David sounds a lot like you. And truthfully, we both sound like our dad. And dad, many of you don't know this, but when he was in his 40s, in his early 50s, he was without question the greatest communicator of the gospel and evangelist in the whole United States of America. And I feel sorry for some of you who just know him in his later years, but when he was young, there was no one like him. So truthfully, anything Dave and I have, we get from the old man. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? All right, so make sure you give Pops lots of credit. But I want to thank Dave for inviting me and Sue Ann. And I do want you to know I travel all over the country. I travel all over the world. And this church right here in Fresno is not just one of the best churches in California. This church is one of the greatest churches in the entire United States of America. And I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's true. I want to wish all the mothers here Happy Mother's Day, especially my mother, who is the world's greatest mother. And last night she was sitting over here. Mama, where are you? Mama, I want you to stand up. I want everyone to see my mama. Mama, come on. That woman is a saint right there, because she raised five of the craziest kids on this planet. Plus, she has to put up with dad 24 hours a day. So, Mama, thank you for being the world's greatest mom. Amen? Mother's Day weekend. In fact, here's what I want. If you're a mother here, stepmother, adoptive mother, a mother of any kind, I just want you. In fact, if you're a woman, I want you to stand. If you're a lady in the house, I want you to stand. And guys, I want you to give some love to the women who are here today. Yeah. Mother's Day weekend, in case you don't know, is usually the second Sunday of May every year. But it's safe to say that none of us would be here. Not one person would be here if it wasn't for our mothers. I heard of a United States-based company who placed a classified ad for a director of operations position online and in newspaper. 2.7 million people saw the ad. Only 27 people inquired because they had what the job required. You had to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You had to work 135 plus hours a week. There were no 15-minute work breaks included. You had to have preferred degrees in medicine, finance, culinary arts, no vacations, no pay, and no pay raises. Most people responded by saying that's insane. A lot of people said it's inhumane. The person who was conducting the interview said there's already billions who currently hold this position. Of course, they're talking about moms, the unsung heroes of every generation. I want you to know that in your Bible that God... Everybody say God. And stay with me because some person didn't hear this at the start of the sermon last night. God is usually, most times, almost all the time. He is referred to in the Bible as a he, in the masculine pronoun. He is known as a judge, a king, a shepherd, a father. Hebrew Bible, Elohim, El Adonai are masculine nouns. That's how God is usually referred to. But it might surprise you to discover that the Bible, a few times, it's in there. You can't argue with it. God is referred to in the female imagery. He's referred to, and these are analogies, as a nursing mother in Isaiah 49, as a mother bear in Hosea 13:8. He's a midwife in Psalm 22, verse 9. And in Matthew 13, verse 33, he's a woman baking bread. Now, that does not bother me, nor does it seem impossible to me. After all, the Bible says, I want you to see these words in Genesis 1, verse 27. It says that God created mankind in his own image, both male and what? Female. So, what that means, I don't want to shock you. It means that every man in this room was created in the image of God. It also means that every female was also created in the image of God. Now, hear one thing and get this, don't forget this. God is a spirit. I want to say that twice. God is a spirit. But when he created us, he put some of his traits in man and he put some of his traits in a woman. And regardless of political correctness gone amok, there's differences between male and female. We all got his traits, but he did give us different traits for different reasons. You say, is that in the Bible? Yes, we're going to look at some of these passages today. In your bulletin, there's an outline. I want you to take some notes, if you please. What are some traits in a mother that came from God? Well, number one, write this down. God is the one who gives us life. God is the one who gives us life. We will always have incredible and inseparable bonds with our mothers because they are the ones who gave us life. They go through great pains to birth us, to bring us into this world, can all God's ladies say? Amen. Amen. There was a father and a son who were talking one day. The father asked the son what he wanted for his birthday next year. And the boy said, I want a baby brother. Well, sure enough, his birthday wish came true. For the following year, the day before his actual birthday, his mom gave birth to a second child, a boy. Next year, just before his birthday, the father asked him what he wanted again. This time the boy replied. He said, well, Dad, what I really want is a pony, but I'm afraid it will be too hard on Mom. The giving of life has always been a maternal assignment. But if you have any biblical understanding of God, you would clearly know that God is the ultimate giver of life. He is the creator of the world. God is the birther of all things. In fact, you'll know this verse. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 13, he said, for you, and he's talking to God. God, you are the one that created my inmost being. You, God, knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, I have never seen my dad knit anything. I've never seen a man knit anything. I'm sure some of you think that's a sexist statement, and maybe it is. I'm going to guess there's probably some men who knit. I have just never seen any man knit. But Mama, I saw her knit all the time. One time I went over to their house, and she opened up the door, and she showed me this, I took this photograph with my phone. It was all these pillows. I said, Mama, what is this? She said, well, I knit all those together. I stitched all those together. Those are Christmas gifts for all the girls that go to my life group. Mom did that. God, like my mother, is a knitter. He's a stitcher. God is the one that knit every one of us together when we were in our mother's womb. It's through God that we have life. Can someone say amen? What's more, in John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is through God's ordained plan that we all must be born, not just once, but every single person here must be born twice. The first time you are born of woman, but the second time you must be born of God. We see the maternal side of God when we see that He's the one that gives us eternal life. Point number two, God has a mother's way in preparing and providing for His children. I have a confession to make. I have never been a mother, but I have a mother. My wife is a mother of three, and my daughter is a mother. And what I've learned is that before the child ever arrives, mom is getting everything ready. The house is clean, where you almost need sunglasses to walk inside. It reflects light. The room has already been painted, blue or pink. It smells fresher than a daisy. She's got a suitcase packed out by the door. Enough clothes for a month. She's only going to be gone for like 2 days. And before the first child is ever born, mama has enough diapers for 10 kids. There are baby clothes and baby food, and there's a baby crib, and there's baby books, and there's a baby bassinet before the baby ever gets here. A woman got that trait from God. Did you know that? Before you were born, everybody said the word before. Before any of us were born, God had already placed cattle on 1,000 hills. If you go back and look at Genesis chapter 1, it's the story of creation. It's 27 verses. It's always good to go back and read the story of creation. It's 27 verses. I'll tell you how it reads. In verse 3, the very first thing God creates is light. That's the very first thing. That's day 1. He creates light in verse 3. In verse 6, He creates all of the water. Think of all the water in the world. He did that in verse 6. Verse 11, He creates all the food and the vegetation. Verse 14, He creates all the stars. God puts all the stars up in the sky, and the Bible says He has a name for every one of them. Verse 20, He creates the fish and the birds. Verse 21, He created all the animals, at least the dogs. We don't know where cats came from. We really don't know. We don't know where cats come from, really. We don't know. But anyway, after He does all of that, 25 verses of God just getting the planet ready. Then in verse 26 and 27, He creates man and woman. God has a mother's way in that everything was created for you, prepared for you, provided for you, to bless you, to help you, to sustain you before you ever got here. And it's not just you. There's almost 8 billion people on this planet. God has provided everything not just for you, but for all 8 billion people on this planet. You breathe His air. You eat His food. You wear His clothes. You are refreshed by His miracle of sleep. You drink His water. You are warmed by His sun. Mom, like God, always knew what was best for us. Mom always knew how many covers we needed before we went to bed. She always made sure all 5 of us had proper school clothes. Mom always bought us shoes 4 sizes too big. She always had breakfast before we went to school. And sometimes she gave us things we didn't like chores and bedtimes, and sometimes even spankings. Because she always knew what was best. Just a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call. Anytime I get a phone call from Mom or Dad or David, my heart just kind of sings, because I don't know if something's happened to my dad. And we've had so many discussions where it's just been stressful, and talking about doctors and hospitals and doctor appointments. And this time it was strange, because they were just both in a very happy mood. They were driving. They had me on the speakerphone. And they were just kind of reminiscing. And Dad says, "Hey, I'm here with your mother." "Hi, Mom." He says, hey, we're just wondering. Neither one of us remember ever spanking you. Did we ever spank you?" "You're asking me if you ever spanked me?" And I said, "You spanked us all the time. What are you talking about?" And Mom said these words. She goes, "Well, honey, I never spanked you, did I?" I said, "Mom, you spanked me all the time." Mamas know what's best for us, even though we don't want it sometimes, amen. And you know, God knows what you need. She got that trait from God. God knows what you need. And sometimes you don't like what even God has, but everything you need, He's provided for you. The church of Jesus Christ is your support group. He created this for you. He was the one that put the Bible together so that you'd have a roadmap. He was the one that gave you His Spirit so that wherever you go, His presence might be within you. And God is the one who's provided salvation for you so that one day you can go to heaven and be with Him for all of eternity. Again, I never ever worried a single day of my life as a boy growing up because I knew Mama was going to take care of everything. And likewise, no matter what circumstances are I go through in this life, I know that God is always going to take care of me. Number three, another trait that Mom got from God is that He comforts and He consoles, or consoles and He comforts. I want you to hear me out on this. There are times where God will judge. There are times where God condemns, where He seems to be harsh. He will take a stand and He will not bend. He speaks and His rules are not to be broken. But I want you to know that there's a softer side of God where He heals and He comforts. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 is the God of all comfort. He consoles. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. God certainly has a mother's way, certainly during difficult times. You know when the first ever Mother's Day occurred? It started in the year 1908. It was 111 years ago. St. Andrew's Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother, Ann Jarvis, who had cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the Civil War. That makes sense, doesn't it? Most of the men were fighting and killing each other, and the women were taking care of the wounded on both sides. If you ever read through the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is one of those big books in the Old Testament, and it has 66 chapters. Most people start reading, they never get to the end of it. I don't want to ask for a show of hands. But 66 chapters, and it's very bumpy. It's very emotional. Israel had been exiled to Babylon because of their disobedience. And so as you read through the first 40 chapters, the first 40, two-thirds of the book, there's no way Israel can ever escape the destruction that they deserve. They have sinned too much. They have forsaken God too long. But then you get to the last 20 chapters. You start to see God kind of change His mind a little bit. You start to see perhaps He may show mercy to them. And you start to see that there's a glimmer of hope for Israel. And then you come to the very last chapter, chapter 66. And when you get to the very last chapter, He says, I'm going to fix everything for you. You'll get to go home. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Everything will be okay. Isaiah 66, the first part of verse 12 says this, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace. Peace is the word shalom there. Shalom means that everything in your life is good. Shalom means that there is no turmoil. He says, I will extend peace to her like a river. And the wealth of nations, like a flooding stream, will sweep over you. The Israelites to whom Isaiah is preaching, they had no shalom. They had no peace. They were in captivity. All they had known was turmoil. To them, God seemed like He was a million miles away. They were being disciplined by God. They were being judged by God. But here in verse 12, He says, I'm going to make things right. I'm going to put everything back together. I'm going to fix your brokenness. And the second half of verse 12, God says, have you ever seen a child breastfeeding? Have you ever seen a child being bounced on its mother's knee? Have you ever seen a child in tow in its mother's arm? Or have you ever seen a mom carrying a child on her hip? You ever seen that? The second half of verse 12, God says this, you will nurse and you will be carried on her arm, and you will be dandled on her knee. He's saying, I know you feel as though I, God, am a million miles away. I know you feel abandoned. I know you feel disowned. I know you're discouraged. But one day soon, you will be that child being carried and spoiled by a caring mother. God says, I will nurse you. I will carry you on my arm. I'm going to bounce you on my knee. And you will have peace like a river. The goodness of God will flow through you. And the very next verse, God says these words, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You ever remember being a little boy, a little girl, and you scratched your knee and you just come running into mama? Or maybe worse, you got a cut or maybe even a broken leg and you come running into mama on one leg? I tell you, if you're here today and you're broken, you are a broken person, you need to know that God is a God of comfort. He wants to comfort you. You need to run to God. If you're lost here today, God's trying to find you and to help you and to bless you. If you're on the wrong path, God is here today to console you. Are you addicted? Do you need help? Have you made wrong choices? Have you made some costly mistakes in your life? You need to know that God is here. He wants to help you. He wants to mend you. He wants to restore you. Are you here today running away from God? You need to start running to God like you used to run to your mama when you were a little kid. Have you lost your faith? Have you lost hope? Isaiah talks about he will gather you in his loving arms. He will kiss and soothe away whatever it is that worries you here today, if only you'll go to him. Point number four, we only have five. Can you say amen? God will never, ever, ever give up on you. Oh, it never matters to mom. Everybody say never. Never. It never matters to mom, and it never will matter to mom who you are and where you've run off to and what you've turned out to be or how far you've drifted from home, how much trouble you find yourself in. Mama will never give up on you. I see it on television all the time. Some guy's a terrible criminal, and he's like robbed 12 banks, and he's shot 10 people, and he's wanted in 6 different states, and he's in trial, and he's in his handcuffs and his jersey there in the courtroom, and who's that lady standing over there in the corner on his side? Who is it? It's always mama. She doesn't care what that boy does. She's going to be the last person standing with that boy. Isaiah 49, God said these words, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? God says, is that even possible? Is that even possible? The obvious answer is no. But God said, though she might, it's not very likely. It's not very likely. But if a woman would forget the child at her breast or show no compassion for the child, even though she may, God says, I will never forget you. What did he say to Jerusalem? You remember Jerusalem when they had rejected him? They had rejected him. Did he then in turn reject them? No. Well, here's what he said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, those of you who killed the prophets and stoned those who've been sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I know this sounds strange for all of you, but God is like an old mother hen. And what does an old mother hen do? Well, she gets those little chicks that are defenseless, those chicks, little baby chicks, like you. They're defenseless. And so that mother hen, she just... And what does the rooster do? Oh, he's over here going... He doesn't care. But not so the mother hen. She's cooing and calling and protecting and looking out for threats for her young'uns. The context of this, of course, is Jesus has condemned the religious leaders of Jerusalem. But the people of Jerusalem, he says, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, even though you have rejected me, I will never reject you or give up on you. God will always, always love you, even when you reject him." And some of you can experience, some of you have rejected your mother's love. Some of you have rejected your mother's advice. Some of you have rejected your mother's God. Some of you have rejected your mother's faith. But your mother will never reject you, even though you've rejected her. I wonder how many prodigal sons and prodigal daughters have been brought back simply because of mama's prayers, because of mama's tears, because of mama's never give up attitude. Man will go wrong, his business associates will cut him off, his partners will cast him aside, his best friends will run away, his father may even turn away, but after everyone has failed, there is one who never leaves, there is one who's always compassionate, there is one who will always listen, there is one who never wavers or fails, there's one who never stops loving, it's mom. And likewise, God will never, 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 never give up on anyone in this room. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with what kind of a love? An everlasting love," which means that he has always loved you and he always will love you. God is like that. His love never pauses. His love has no intermission. His love never takes a time out. His love never takes a recess. You know this verse in Romans 8, verse 38, it says that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You go ask Elijah if height can separate you from the love of God. Why don't you go find old Jonah and ask him if the depth of the sea can separate you from the love of God? Why don't you find the Apostle Paul and ask him if trials and tribulations could separate you from the love of God? Why don't you go find John the Baptist and ask him if the sword can separate you from the love of God? Why don't you ask David if disobedience can separate you from the love of God? Why don't you go speak to Daniel and see if persecution can separate you from the love of God? Why don't you go find Peter and ask him if denial can separate you from the love of God? And while you're at it, go find the prodigal son and ask him if sin can separate you from the love of God. And while you're doing that, why don't you find old Lazarus and ask him if death can separate you from the love of God? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. When you've lied 1,000 times, God still loves you. When you were a drunkard and a dope addict, God still loved you. When you cursed and swore and denied his name, he still loved you. When you were unlovable and unloving, he loved you. When you doubted him, when you denied him, he loved you. That night that you wish you could forget, that summer that you wish you could erase, doesn't faze the love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how marvelous and strong. I know of no better news, no better report, no better sound, no sweeter song, no more beautiful of a picture than this picture of a loving God, loving his children. And as I close, the thing I love most about God that I see is a mama helping a child to sleep. And I'm not talking about you going to sleep here in church, okay? Stay with me on this. We had a young man on our staff. He started coming to our church. He just saw us on TV, started coming, and came from a broken family. He was all jacked up, messed up, but started coming to church. Come and sat on the back row. Very, just sat back there, never got involved. Then he got involved, started volunteering. All of a sudden, he was around the church so much, we couldn't keep him from being around, so we just put him on our staff. That's how you get on to be on the church staff. You just hear all the time. But anyway, two nights ago, Friday, he didn't show up for work. And they called him, and he didn't pick up the phone, so they rushed over him, and they found that he had died in his sleep. And so it's kind of a hard time. But I think about life for all of us. I think you know this, that life is just passing by. You know, some of these young kids, they don't understand that. But the older you get, the faster time goes. Amen? And kids, this is why you need to listen. But anyway, you know, I'm just seeing my dad go through his situation. And so many people here with severe health issues. Some of you need to go up to the cancer ward. You just need to spend one afternoon there. Some of you need to take a walk through the local cemetery here in Clovis or Fresno and realize that how fast life goes. Kenneth was a young boy. He had an incurable disease. And he spent many months on his deathbed before he died. And one day his mother was reading to him his favorite story, an old English tale of King Arthur and Sir Lancelot. And reading of death. And the boy turned to his mother and said, "Mother, mother, what's it like to die?" Mother sprang to the kitchen and prayed this prayer. She said, "God, help me to think of the exact words to answer this boy's question. The question that outweighs so heavily upon his mind." Mother went back into that bedroom next to that boy and said, "Kenneth, do you remember when we were traveling sometimes, or we were coming back late at night, and you'd be in the back seat and you would just fall asleep, and the next morning when you woke up, you were in a different set of clothes, your bed clothes, and you were in your bed and you don't even remember what happened?" Boy said, "Yes, Mama, I remember that." She said, "What's it like to die?" She said, "One of these days, Kenneth, you're going to fall asleep on the wrong bed with the wrong clothes. But when you wake up, God will have placed you in the right place, the right time, with the right clothes." Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality." That's what God's going to do for anyone here today who follows and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. You have absolutely nothing in this world, nothing to worry about if you're a Christian. If you're here today and you're a prodigal son or you're a prodigal daughter and you've drifted away from God, you've drifted away from the things of God, this is your day to come home. This is your day to come back to your faith, back to your roots, back to how God intended from the very beginning when He created this planet and placed you on this planet and gave us these scriptures and gave us His Spirit and gave us this church and gave us preacher after preacher who would proclaim God's word to you so that you might find faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. So that one day, when you fall asleep on this earth, you will wake up in the presence of an almighty God. Amen. If Jesus were here today, I want you all to stand for just a second. Everybody stand. We're going to sing a hymn of decision. And we will have counselors down here in the front. And this is an opportunity for anyone here today who's lost, lonely, broken, discouraged, living in despair, living without hope. This is your chance to come down here and to come home to a Father's love. Amen. If Jesus were here and He walked out right here, just kind of walked out, you would all look at Him. I think He would walk in here. He'd come down these steps. He'd walk up an aisle to where you're sitting. He would come over and I believe that the Lord Jesus would make His way, excuse me, and get right in front of you. And He'd put His hand out. He said, "Young man," I think He'd put His arm around you. Jesus would say, "I want you to know that I went to the cross. I went to the cross for you. I want you to I want you to come down here. And I think he'd say this, I'm going to go with you. Let's go. You take that first step and God will be with you the rest of the way. No longer need to be that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, that person who kind of comes and shows up, but you're not really all in. This is your chance to come and to surrender your life fully to Jesus Christ. We'll sing this chorus a couple times through and just give anyone here a chance from the balcony, from the floor. Make your way down here. We'll have coaches or counselors, decision counselors, and they will pray with you. They will talk with you. Whatever you're going through, you don't need to go through those things alone. We are here to help you, to walk through that trial with you. So walk down here. If you've never given your life to Christ or you need to be baptized, we baptized several people last night, and we're ready to baptize you here today. But come home. Come to the Lord. Come to the one who loves you, the one who will never give up on you. You come as we sing. You come.